and I have my office where no one else can come, and it's got like some semi-soundproof stuff. And we upgraded it, put a TV in, and I'm doing all this stuff. Like, we're building, right? Like, slowly but surely.
Sweet.
And,
love it.
Dude, I sweated my fucking ass off. Like, really putting, like, $1,500 into the mics and a couple of the other equipment pieces. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can use all the stuff forever, though. Like, you'll have reasons for it.
Yeah.
So, not a big deal. Like,
between voiceovers and I want to do some spoken word shit.
Yeah.
Like some entrepreneurial spoken. I wrote some poems and I'm like, you can do. And I saw resale on these things was like no less than $250, you know?
Yeah. You're fine. Yeah. You don't worry about it. It's all good.
Okay. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
the vote of yes, this is a good investment. I appreciate
it. Oh, I use my stuff all the time. So in all kinds of different facets. So that's no.
Well, start
no there.
Start with what other facets do you use your microphones for?
Well, I mean, certainly video shooting. But right now, if you were to see me in the studio, I have most of my my Heil PR40 is miking my bass drum. My two Heil PR35s are miking various parts of my drum set. Then I have another portable setup in the other room that's also Heil PR35s, and I just use them kind of everywhere. So dude, I do Zoom meetings and recordings and okay. Screen flow recordings and stuff, all that kind of stuff with all that gear.
Do you use Loom at all?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. It's like a video sharing. It shares your screen and it puts a little, and you can do walkthroughs and video walkthroughs, record them.
That's what I do with
Zoom.
What's it called? Screen flow.
Oh, screen flow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
We go. I really like the UI and the Chrome extension to Loom, but yeah, it's cool. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Not Boring Business podcast, where I'm your host. My name is Jeremy Redman. This is not Suits and Handshakes business, ladies and gents. This is not boring business. Let's go. Today's guest, Michael O'Neill with Solopreneur Hour. This guy's a hustler. My favorite thing about this guy is he lost everything, career earnings and retirement, back in 2009 when he was 35, started from scratch, clawed his way back up, and at one time he was a professional drummer as well. And surprisingly, he doesn't listen to a lot of entrepreneurial podcasts, mostly stand-up comedy. And I think a lot of his interview will reflect that. He's built Solopreneur Hour podcast to, I think he just said he crossed 9 million downloads after starting it in 2013. And this guy's had guests like Charles Barkley, Adam Carolla, James Altucher, Guy Ferrari, Ferrari, Potato Potato, I'll let you be the judge, but that was a fine joke. Heinz Ward, too many to name. So, without further ado, Michael O'Neill, how you doing, mi amigo?
Cool. All right.
Okay, so I've been following you for a little bit, and you've had some really good guests on your podcast, and this is a big growing podcast. Like we have thousands of downloads now.
Okay,
like
good.
Congratulations. We're almost to tens of thousands.
Okay.
So I think
okay.
We're at like 9,000.
All right. 9,000. That's exciting. And how long have you been doing the show?
I think I have 17 episodes.
All right, that's cool.
So
yeah, great.
Like, it gets between, I mean, one has hit like over 1,000, and then the other ones are like 500 to 1,000 an episode.
Fantastic.
Like, so you have had to start here. You started here. You know
I didn't.
I mean?
I'm currently starting there with a couple of YouTube channels. So I'm very...
You are
in fact,
YouTube
I
now.
Literally just posted about how nice it is. There's something fun about being brand new at something. Because I just got, I think I have 400 subscribers or something on my one YouTube channel. And it's exciting
how
to kind of be brand new. 400.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's like brand new, you know, so it's fun to start over and just see what it's like, you know, it's cool.
Oh my dude, I just crossed 83 subscribers, and we just put it like 2 weeks ago.
On YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I'm my goal was to get 100 subscribers in the first day. That was my original goal. So I did that, and now it's just been sort of a build with different content. I'm gonna try to put another video out today and see if it peps it up a bit.
Okay, so what kind of videos are you putting out there? How are you building it? How did you get to that 100 in that first day or close?
This one is in a car niche, a vintage Porsche niche. It's a company I have called Wrench, R-E-N-N-C-H.
Okay.
And I just put out, you know, a couple of, you know, related videos and posted in every single Facebook group and message board I could think of to announce that the show existed. So that was cool. A bunch of people subscribed in that way. And then just today, as we're recording this, I was featured on this one of the biggest automotive podcasts in the world.
No.
And so, yeah. So now,
congrats.
I'm like watching my Instagram go for my Wrench account.
Okay.
It's cool.
How many Instagram followers did you get from that?
So, and it's only a couple hours into it. Let me look really quick. I got to get over to that Instagram.
This is what I love.
Definitely at least, let's see, at least 100 so far in the last, a couple hours.
So, this is one thing I want to unpack a little bit, because I believe you commanded and deserve that following, right? It wasn't fucking Instagram games where you're following, unfollowing, and growing your following. What I call, that is not organic to me. When you're like, when you have a strategy to it, and you go, okay, what you want to do is follow, unfollow, because the game is make sure you have more followers than you're following. And I get it, right? I get that. I refuse to do that, and I don't like seeing when that happens. What you have done is my strategy, which is, when I deserve it, people will follow me because my shit is great, right? Like, you were able to prove that you had external value, which is this article. Someone thought you were valuable enough, wrote about you, and then those people that read that go, okay, now I want to follow this guy and on his Instagram. What strategy do you, which one do you like better? The follow, unfollow, or my strategy, which you earned it in the marketplace and then it came to you? Which one feels better?
Well, always the organic, the regular organic version, the non-hacking version is better.
Sure.
I've definitely done the follow, unfollow thing for a while, a few years back. Oh. And
I did it too at the beginning. I did it too. I just don't like it.
The real downside to it in general is that those people aren't engaged. So you might have 10,000 followers and you'll get like, 100 likes on something. So it's not as good. Whereas this one, my Wrench channel has, it has about, 2,300 or something. So it's not a huge channel, by the way.
Jeez.
This isn't like, it's not a huge one. But I'll get, 700 likes to something. So I'll get like a 25% engagement, which is gigantic on
Instagram. That's huge.
You know? So that's the difference, I think.
But that's what's sellable, even. That's what's monetizable. That's what's building a company off of it. I think on my Not Boring Jeremy Instagram, I have like right now maybe 520 followers or something. But I get 60, 70 likes on a post. People buy my shit. And I go, I've built bigger business in the last 6 months on 500 followers than I know a guy who has over 1 million followers, and it's bullshit quotes, right? That like are some other entrepreneur out there. Like Elon, I'm posting Elon Musk because Elon Musk is motivating. And I go, well, what about you? And how do you monetize this? If it's a shout out for shout, it's these games, man, that it's now coming to like light where they just don't win because Facebook's going to want a cut of that. You know what I mean? Like if you're getting, say you have 1 million followers or a couple hundred thousand followers, I don't know what it is, and then you actually build it to where you go, oh, okay, I'm going to build this brand. Dude, if Facebook goes, you're not going to see as many followers as possible, boom, you're done. right? Like your engagement goes down. And I think it's up to you. And this is what I really love about you is you've built channels outside of just like one, right? Like with your podcast, with your YouTube, with your courses. I know you've done a lot of courses, right? Like, and a lot of products, and you started off as a designer. You've diversified. Can you go into how that's helped you in your career?
Well, it's nice to be able to crank out a logo or a landing page without having to hire someone. That's yeah. certainly helpful. I think it's one of the major steps of, rather major hurdles that a lot of people have. It's like, I don't know what to do with this. And I've never been intimidated by any of it. So meaning even when talking about the YouTube idea, I don't know anything about video editing, but I knew enough to get Final Cut Pro and go to YouTube when I had a question about it. So then I just edited the videos and stuck them up there, and now it's growing. So that didn't become a major hurdle for me to go, I don't know anything about video, so I shouldn't do a video. I'm like, no, I'll record it with my phone, and I'm using a little Sennheiser lavalier microphone that goes into a lightning cable.
Right.
And it's nothing elegant, but here it is getting, and it's, again, the numbers are so tiny, but there it is getting 700 views or whatever, right? But that's 700 more than I had. And I think that people, when we see some of those people that have been sort of down the timeline, and they have, I just crossed my 9 millionth download for my show, and someone starting a podcast goes, damn, that's crazy. But but at some point, I was getting 13 a day or 27 in a day. And everybody has to do that at some point. So that's why I'm sort of enjoying, I don't know, to me it's almost parallel to when a parent has a child and they go, yeah, but you should appreciate this time, because it's going to go away rather quickly. Provided you keep, you've done the BAM formula, which I've been talking about lately, which is your brand and then your audience and then monetization. Mm. Provided you follow the right steps within those things, you're going to continue to grow. And that growth is going to mean that maybe you'll be wistful for the days when you only had 500 followers and everything didn't have that much impact every time you posted it, and you didn't have haters, and you didn't have, there's a part of it that's kind of, romanticized.
I love that, because sometimes I had one of these times when I was at South By this year where I was like, okay, there's a quote at the end of The Office where Andy, when it ends, goes, I wish someone would tell you that I wish someone would tell you these are the good times when you're in them. You know what I mean? Or maybe that was Pam. I don't know. But anyway, I think right now where I'm on the come up, just hired a few more employees. This podcast is getting thousands of downloads, not like per episode, but like 500 to 1,000 downloads an episode. We're only 17 episodes in. To my discredit, I haven't been pushing it out as much that as I need to. But like, I'm thinking, dude, I have a lot of room to grow, and I just need to think, I need to get comfortable with where I'm at right now and not think so far down the line that I forget what I'm doing. That I don't remember this and have this perspective that like, hey, one day this is going to be the time I look back on and think those were the good days.
Right. Okay.
I love that perspective from like that you have that. Has that perspective helped you as you've gone on and hit that 9 millionth download?
Well, yeah, I think that one thing that I never had to worry about was the patience aspect. And to me now, having done the show for almost 5 years, it is the number one issue that most people have is patience. Mm. And people literally think that they're just going to start this thing and then the money's going to roll in the next month. And it's like, oh, no. It's years. It's not, it's not weeks. It's years until that happens. And even in my, sort of limited, I don't want to say limited experience, I have my show monetized relatively quickly. It was like a six figures in 6 months kind of vibe.
Whoa.
But that was only because I had years, like 15 years of design, branding, you know, sales, marketing. I was a professional drummer for 10 years, so I knew gear a little bit. It wasn't like it was my first day doing any of this shit.
Sure.
So I knew enough about how to interact with humans in a way to influence them to make a decision that I could do it without them realizing they were being sold. You know, which is really the key to being a good salesperson, which is go back. If you guys want to listen or watch, go watch the diner scene from When Harry Met Sally. And that's when Meg Ryan gives this legendary fake orgasm performance. And the next thing that happens, do you remember the next thing that happens? Do you ever see that movie? If not, you need
I'll
to see
it. I'll have what she's having.
Exactly. So yeah. That idea, I built an entire social media brand around I'll have what she's having. Because it's the key to winning in this is not to tell people how great you are. It's to show people how great your life can be while you're using your products and services. And so once they see that, you don't need to tell them to buy it. They're going to go, where do I get this shit? How do I do it? And it's always been the key. It's marketing 101 from literally hundreds of years ago. So it's just translated into different pieces of technology and communication now.
Okay, so tell me this. So you want to paint a picture, like as you're starting or you run some Facebook ads, and like you said, paint a picture of where you could go with this class, right? Or with this course that you're talking about. And I'm on the divide between what true hard hustle work is and this lavish, I'm in the backseat of a Bentley, you can do what I did, when the fact is 90% of those people can't, right? Like anyone who ever buys anything is probably not going to get the same result. I believe everyone can carve their niche and make six figures. I believe it. Or at least make 50, 60, 70 grand and be completely happy with themselves. I believe everyone can do that. But like it's a lot of people that run ads all over everything, like they go, look at this life. I've got a penthouse in Manhattan and I'm going to show you how to do it too. Like how do you bridge that balance between obviously that formula works, but it's kind of, I just don't want to do it. It's against everything in my fiber to not sell someone that when I know 90% of those people that will buy it won't achieve that. 99 won't achieve that. It's just factual, right? So like, but they can have a better life. How do you be truthful and honest when you sell a product, but still like, hey, you can have this better life or you can have some of the things that I have, or just being truthful and honest and advertising not work?
I mean, are you asking me that question?
That's
my whole show. That's what I've done with my show. So
yeah.
That's my answer, is that I created a podcast to illustrate to people the myriad ways that you can start and run a business and a life and have relationships and family and happiness and wealth in a million different ways. So it's not about Learjets and Lambos. So it's much different. And my core ethos is to share all of those different methodologies that people use. That's the whole point of my show. So that's the answer.
If some of our listeners, and I've listened to your show, and like, that's one thing I go all, like you gave me confidence that I could kind of do it by myself, right? Like that I didn't have to play these games that people in startup land play, where they need a co-founder, right? Or they need this partner to start or be successful. And it's just untrue, right? Like sometimes you've gotta bring down your expectation. But for our listeners that may not know the Solopreneur Hour podcast, how would you say to start, like if they had one trick, right? If you needed one thing to sell your product or one piece of advice to sell that product, as a solopreneur, what would it be?
It is so industry dependent that it's almost impossible to answer that question. But here's what I will say though: is build your business like it's the 80s. So the minute you start, if you decide, let's say you're good at a thing, whatever your thing is,
okay,
whatever you've decided that, okay, I'm going to be great at Excel spreadsheets or whatever it is. And so the first thing you have to do, and this is fairly universal, is you have to find out where people are that want that thing that you know how to do. So if you're great at Excel spreadsheets, let's say that you're great at real estate marketing, or you've managed a port. This is one of the fun things I think about 2018, is that you can port your skill set to other industries that have money. So like, let's say you were a surfer, okay? Let's say you were a surfer and or a mountain biker. And so that covers most of the country in terms of like geography.
Yeah.
So, and you were really good at making GoPro videos when you were on your surfboard or, you know, whatever. Well, you may realize there's not a ton of money in the bike industry. And there's not a ton of money in the surf industry. They're self-sustaining, but that's about as far as it goes. You're not a seven-figure earning professional surfer. I mean, there may be a few, but there's not a lot. So, but you're really good at, you know, or maybe you're a BMX kid and you're filming your video, whatever it is, you're good at GoPro stuff. Well, you could take that skill set and port it over to industries that have a lot of money. Like, what if you went out and shot, you started doing like cool neighborhood drive-throughs for real estate agents,
yes,
where you could give somebody a killer, you know, bird's eye view of what the neighborhood was, and you're charging $500 for that. Well, shit, you do three or four of those a week, and all of a sudden you're making $2,000 a week doing the same skill set in a different industry than you were doing. But to answer your original question, you have to go to where people are. So that means you have to go to events and you have to shake some hands. You have to go to networking events and, you know, have a business card and have your 6-word intro dialed in. And what I mean by that is I help blank do blank. You know, what is it? What do you do? Well, when someone goes, what do you do? If you're minute five into trying to explain what you do, then you don't know what your brand is. You don't 100%. Know what you've done yet. So you have to be able to nail that question. I help blank do blank. So I can say something like, I help other unemployable people like myself learn to build a business out of their hobbies and skill sets. That's an easy thing for me to answer. And ultimately you want them to go, well, how do you do that? You know, and then you're sort of, they're in your sort of funnel at that point and you can guide them through. But what the problem people make, other than being super impatient about it, is they immediately start going to scaled digital marketing where they're like, oh, I need to build a funnel and a mailing list and all that. No, you don't. You need to go talk to somebody at a coffee shop for 30 minutes and say, hey, can I help you with your Excel spreadsheets? And they go, yeah, I need the help. I'll pay you, you know, $300 to help me get this thing together. Great. You get enough of those clients together, you're going to know what that constituency needs. You're going to know exactly what the people that you want to buy your product, you're going to know exactly what they need. So I can be a guy that, and this, by the way, was a lesson I had to learn the hard way, but I had, I was really good at social media and, you know, basically this Harry Met Sally thing. And I had a buddy of mine who's very successful and runs a very successful, you know, business coaching thing. He goes, you're great at it, but you're teaching the wrong people. You're teaching people that don't have any money. He goes, take what you know and go port it to somebody that, you know, go do social media for a plastic surgery office.
Yeah.
They've got tons of money, you know, or something like that. And so you go, oh, why didn't I just put together to go towards the money with my skills that I have? How can I tweak what I know how to do for a group of people that have, you know, more money? And so,
dude, I'm telling you right now, Michael, and this is no bullshit, my friend. The last two answers are probably the greatest advice from the podcast, from like the Not Boring Business podcast. Like, I'm going to throw those two fucking, run your business like the 80s and porting skills to different industries may be the catalyst. Like, you put words to what I do on a daily basis. I was just talking with my sales guy yesterday about, like, walk across the fucking street go introduce yourself to that fucking small business owner and sell him on why we need to do A, B, and C. Like, instead of cold emailing, like, build a connection, get, shake some hands, go glad hand some people at a meetup event, right? Like, I think that's almost like a competitive advantage now because so many people don't want to do it, right?
Well, there was a great story. There's a guy named John Assaraf that was one of the people that was in the movie called The Secret. And he's a big kind of mindset coach. He's done a lot of neuroscience research and stuff here in Southern California. But he was in real estate for years and years and years. And his mentor, when he comes in, he goes, I want to become a real estate, millionaire, whatever. And the guy goes, okay. And he brings him on. And his first day, he goes, hey, we're going to take a ride. And so this guy who runs this office, this mentor dude, drives him something like 3 miles away or 5 miles away from the real estate office. And he goes, hey, hop on out. And then John hops out, and the mentor guy goes, all right, knock on every door until you get back to the office. I'll see you in a few hours. And that was it. That he did.
I love that advice. That's great advice.
By the time he got to the office, he had literally knocked on hundreds of doors, and he totally understood what the audience needed and how to speak to them and what to say, and he had all these appointments lined up. There's no way around that. You got to do that. Like hold on a second. Now, I'm populating. I'm doing I have a new program called the Podcast Launch Group because I've helped people launch these really cool podcasts for the last few years. So, but it's a really premium product. It's from $3,000 to $5,000. And so I've been thinking over the last few months, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to drive Facebook ads to it. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to get everybody that's interested on the phone and I'm going to talk to them. And if they want it, they're going to want it at the end of that phone call. So I'm building it like it's the 80s because, if my goal is to fill this class for 20 people, is it that hard for me to book 40 appointments and talk to them? No, it's not, So you just got to, you have to think about, you have to step back and get your head out of the digital marketing space and into the real world space a little
especially bit. Especially because it's so overcrowded, right? Like, it's so noisy every time I see a Facebook. I don't look at it now. And I know now that everyone can buy one. So you see some jack off like that doesn't know how to speak or do any. And I'm like, I don't want to see this guy 20 times in my feed. You know what I mean? Like, why am I seeing this? And like, I just realized that I could hit the three dots and then go, don't see this one again. But still, that's my own issue. But how do you tell that same person where you go, say you drop them off and you not, and they go, this isn't smart business. This is just work hard. I'm not a mule. Like, I get that shit when I tell people your first customer means everything to you. So do whatever it takes to get them. And then you're 10 and then get 100, but then use those 100 to get your rest clients. But the first 10 to 100 are going to be really, really, really hard to get. And you need to play in a space. Like you said, you play in the 80s. I love that. And it's how do you, if you give someone that advice, Michael, you've got to have to get flack back. And otherwise they're just kowtowing to you. What's your rebuttal back if they go, I'm not doing that. Like, there's smarter ways to do it. What do you say?
Okay.
Okay. Great. Great. There you go. Get out of my office.
Like, I mean, no, I'm not. If you can figure that out, then, sure. More power to you. I would love to figure that out myself. But thus far, that has not been the case other than what I just said.
I'm telling you right now, I've built the 2 six-figure companies that I've got on what you and I just talked about. Like, okay. I haven't run a Facebook ad. Like, and I'm going, okay, so I...
Well, that doesn't mean they're bad, though. Don't misconstrue.
You have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to convert anything.
But I'm saying if you're starting, just shake some hands and talk to people. That's what I'm saying.
Got you.
The people get so hung up on, my website has to be dialed, blah, blah, blah. I did, when I decided to do the podcast launch group, I remember thinking of it and going, that'd be a really cool idea. And do this like 8-week step by step, you know, week by week, I'm going to take people through the process of launching a show. And you know, because of this, it's a lot of moving parts to launch a podcast, because you've got the recording side, which we're doing now, but then there's the editing side. Then there's the website that has to be up. Then there's the marketing around it. Then there's the actual, like, being a good host of a podcast, which all of these things typically are brand new skill sets for people. And there's a lot to do. By the time you've actually launched the first show, you've got 95% of the work done. Like, yeah. By the time you've recorded, rather.
Sure.
So, it's a lot of stuff. And I thought, oh, you know, I should do this. And I remember thinking on a Thursday, oh, I should do this. And I put something, I just created some landing page. And by Monday, I'd made like $12,000. And it was like, what? Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's as quick as it was. And that was just writing out and you know, writing to people and talking to them and saying, hey, I'm doing this thing. Do you want to be part of the beta? And blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you know, that's only four people if the product is $3,000.
But, oh, right.
But still, I remember thinking on Monday, that wasn't that difficult. And I didn't have to run any Facebook ads. And I didn't have a fancy landing page. And I didn't have to have anything. So, in fact, one of my YouTube videos that I just posted on the Solopreneur Hour YouTube, which is YouTube.com/solo hour, if anybody wants to check it out, and subscribe, because I have like 9 subscribers.
they will convert from it, I guarantee it.
Is how to create a landing page with its own domain without having to have a website. So you can have like bobscooldomain.com, and then it takes you right to a landing page, which you can then start adding people's email address. So I've been telling people, you know, start an Instagram account, start posting on there, or whatever you like to use. But Instagram is sure. The hot hand right now. And drive people from there right to your landing page and start getting some opt-ins. So when I started my Wrench account, I already had like 120 opt-ins, which, again, isn't a lot. But when you're a brand new podcaster, and you know this as well, and you're getting like 40 listens to one show,
yeah.
If you could send an email out to 120 people and say, hey, I've gotten this thing out, and half of them decide, oh, yeah, I'm going to go listen to the show. Well, all of a sudden, you're up to 100. That's
right.
Huge. You've more than doubled your listen. So don't get all hung up on, oh, I did 40 million in this blah, 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 you know? Just start.
Yeah, just start. Just start somewhere. Everyone starts at fucking zero. You know what I mean? Eventually. And like you said, you grew a little bit faster than most, but you still started at nothing. Now, you got, I look at a couple of the guests that you've had. I think I've listened to a lot of them, but you had John Lee Dumas on, which he was on my podcast the last couple episodes ago.
I think John's been on eight times on my show.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think, yeah. I think I heard a couple of his on yours. And I love that. Dude, I forgot you were in Southern California.
Like, oh, yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking you were in Pittsburgh, dude.
No, just because I'm a Steelers fan, but no.
That's it. Okay. See, that's why I knew that was ringing somewhere. But
yeah.
one of the biggest hurdles in like starting a podcast is like it's needed. It's brand. I've used it as lead generation mostly. I haven't monetized it. I really don't want to right now because it's still kind of cool. And it's like juggling because like you said, it's so much work that goes into this. Like right at the beginning of this, it was like, my mic doesn't work. And I'm thinking, fuck, is it my shit? We're 10 minutes behind. And now what happens, right? Like whose time is who? Like, so, but anyway, juggling this with creating a company and doing everything else. And then one of the hardest things is getting good guests on that align with what you're doing. What has been the, like, can you give me a little tip or a trick to getting good guests on? Like you've had, I think James Altucher, right? Charles Barkley, I think too as well.
Yep.
Like, yeah. How did you get some of those good whales?
Well, some of them were easy because I was co-hosting the Hines Ward show.
Oh, with, okay.
With legendary Steelers player Hines Ward, so we were we did a show for a year together, and that was easy. But that was the Charles Barkley one. But the other one is just what I said before, which is you have to go to events. You have to go. Mm-hmm. I was emceeing a conference called Thrive. In San Diego, and James was one of the speakers at the conference, and so, you know, we were just hanging out in the back, and I said, hey man, I'd love to interview you, and he came into the studio, and we did a great show, really a fun show, and But most of the stuff, like when I had Adam Carolla, I just went to, I knew where he was going to be. And I just literally walked up and I chatted with one of his producers and said, hey, I'm doing this podcast. I'd love to have Adam on. And Adam's a pretty, you know, pretty down to earth dude. And so I said, hey, he introduced me and he goes, you know, I had someone give me a third party introduction. By the way, all of this stuff is outlined. I hate to be like self-promoting guy.
No.
But I have a course called The Art of the Interview, which is teaches podcast hosts to be really good podcast hosts. And one of the major pieces of that is how to get great guests. But I walked up and the guy introduced me and I said, hey, man, I'd love to have you on. He goes, how long's the show? And I'm like, well, it's an hour. He goes, how about 20 minutes? I said, okay. But he did it for 40. You know,
see,
and that was cool.
That's it.
Yeah. So, and we had a good chat, and I've since seen him a number of times, and we're friendly now. But it was, you have to just go there. You know, you got to get to events. You can't just build these giganto businesses and never go to an event.
So you go to an event,
and you get the VIP ticket. So save up your money. You don't have to go to every event. If you need to go to like one event per year, you go to Thrive or something like that because they usually have really good speakers. Pay the $3,000 for the VIP thing because then you're sitting with, you know, the Gary Vaynerchuks and the Grant Cardones and the whatever, you know, you're sitting with them. You get to have those conversations.
That is great. That is amazing, amazing practice. Like we focus on practical advice. And I think I'm going to chop this up. I don't know why you have the greatest advice, dude. Like, it's insane.
Oh, thanks,
bro. Like,
appreciate it.
It's the Southern California vibes. Like, I don't know what
it is.
Well,
I'm not from here, bro. Jeez.
Well, me neither. But you're here for a reason, and that's because of those vibes, my friend.
Well, I think you know what it is. I don't get caught up in the BS part of the industry too much. I'm a pretty down to earth dude. If we met on the street in an hour, you'd get the same dude. So. And I don't typically say anything that I haven't done myself. So it's not, there's nothing theoretical about the stuff that I talk about on my show.
So which I love.
It's all like, yeah, this is what is what's actually going on here.
Okay, dude. Thank you so much. You've been amazing. Is there anything else? Where can people find you? I know you've done a brilliant job. Let me say this. You've done maybe the most terrific job of weaving in your services, channels, and everything that the value you offer into the context of this episode. I tip my hat to you, sir. That's
okay. Thank you.
Dude,
that's very kind.
Insane. You want to link anything up? I'll link it up in the show notes and we can push it out for you.
Yeah, that would be if you've taken my course, that would be your job. So
boom. Okay.
That your job is to tell your audience where they can find me. That's how that works. It's not my job, it's yours.
Dude, you know, I'm borderline lazy. Do you know what I mean? Like I want to get
people. I'm definitely lazy.
I admired you from afar. So I go, "Come on the fucking podcast, please. I would love it, please." And you were like, "Yes, I will do this. I will come on." And I go, "Oh, perfect. This guy's values align perfectly." I think I'm going to run out of great people or like, "Where do I go from here, man?" Like I was grabbing a fucking bagel across the street going, fuck, I've got my shit at 11 going, oh, but he's not in or he emailed me. It's so chaotic. I'm just trying to calm it down. But in the meantime, I'm going to live by your advice, Michael. Since we're both in Southern California, we'll meet up here soon.
I would love that. That would be great, man. I'll be in LA. I'm there fairly often for car stuff. So
perfect.
No big. Thanks, man.
Have you ever been to the Burbank, the Bob's Big Boy little car show on Friday?
You know, it's funny. My buddy Derek goes there a lot. I don't know anything about it, but I've seen pictures from that spot. What day is that?
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Yeah. They do a car show there. It's like a block away from my house.
Oh, cool. Maybe I'll go there. It won't be this Friday, but maybe in a couple of weeks, I'll shoot over there and check it out.
There we go. We'll grab some coffee.
All right, man. Sounds great.
Take care.
See you, brother.